This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You Better You Bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
You Better You Bet, Radio.com Sports. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We are sponsored by the Bet River Sportsbook. Use the promo code NFL100. When you deposit $50, you get a $100 match. Remember that on game days, Bet Rivers reduces the juice from 110 to 107, putting more money in your pocket. They've got the profit boost as well each and every NFL Sunday. So much good stuff designed to help you, dear listener, dear viewer, and dear better, win and save cash in a really easy-to-use fashion. So visit BetRivers.com, our show sponsor. The best lines, the best customer service, your hometown sportsbook, BetRivers. And if you're in a non-legalized market, remember, you can play their $5,000 free weekly pick'em contest. Get involved in that at BetRivers.net. We got one more sponsor read here, and then we promise we will get to the picks for Thanksgiving. But you got to listen to this or fast forward it, as whatever your want is. We would ask that you please listen to it, though. We want everyone to check out our new partner at BetQL, Radio.com Sports, and Entercom. What is BetQL? It's a website and an app that helps sports bettors of all types, whether you're a first-time bettor, a hardcore bettor, or somewhere in between. It helps you make more informed betting decisions using data and analytics. Their algorithms analyze over 350,000 unique bets every year in real time. That would be good, right? You know, who doesn't want stuff not analyzed in real time? It helps give you an edge over sports books. It tells you which side the pros are picking, provides real-time line movements, and historical betting results. So get started today at BetQL.com. Also available as an app at the Apple App Store and Google Play. And you can use promo code KOSTOS, my last name, K-O-S-T-O-S, for 15% off any subscription. That's BetQL.com. Also the app. Use promo code KOSTOS, K-O-S-T-O-S, for 15% off at any subscription. All right, now with that pomp and circumstance out of the way, the sponsorships out of the way, it is now time for what you've all been eagerly waiting for, our picks for Thanksgiving 2020, Week 12 in the National Football League. Tyler Morales, kindly lay down that dope-ass NFL Films knockoff. Okay, so as you know, you the person listening, as you know by now, since we know when we're taping this, Ravens Steelers postponed from Thanksgiving night. We will now see this game be played on Sunday afternoon. We will still break that game down in this segment. It is off the board. We talked off the air. Should we wait to record this? Is the line going to get put up? Ken, who's infinitely more knowledgeable about the stuff than me, thinks that it may be until Thursday, where this line gets posted. So we will talk conceptually about this game. We do not have a line for it, but we can give you an idea as to where we think the line is going. And because we can say things 1,000 times and we'll still get questions about it, and we appreciate the questions, we will also offer this caveat at the start of the Sunday segment. So again, our Raven Steelers breakdown is coming in this segment at the end, after we talk about the first two games chronologically on Thanksgiving. Ken Barkley, we begin, as we do each and every Thanksgiving, for some weird masochistic reason, in Motown in Detroit, where the Lions sit as 3-point home underdogs against Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, Ken Barkley, with a total of 51.5.
If what's the name of that Drake album? It's like, if you're reading this, it's too late. Like, to me, it's right. Like, with what we saw from Detroit, like, if you're betting Houston, you're too late. They're a 3-point road favorite. Houston's been favored in exactly 2 games this entire season. Both of them were against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now they're 3 on the road in this game. Detroit's that bad. I struggle with the idea that there's literally any value in betting on Houston whatsoever here. So, like, the spread comes out to Detroit or pass. Let me tell you how I arrived at my number in this game. So I took the Detroit Carolina number. I didn't end up giving Detroit any extra advantage in that because all the spread pad in that game basically was created by the fact that Walker was playing instead of Bridgewater. So I used like an older Detroit number and I gave them a small downgrade. I still came out to pick here. Like, I still came. I think Detroit minus one is also valid. So, like, it's just this is there's so much like to unpack with in terms of creating the number for this game. I think it's unlikely Houston can ever be favored by more than this. And you can be like, okay, well, if your pick, how did we end up at Houston minus three? And it's like, honestly, because I think there's the perception that Stafford's playing with an injury and that's creating, you know, substandard play. And that should result in even more downgrade than I'm giving. So, like, okay, like, I guess all of that makes sense, but like, I'm never betting Houston at a full field goal. Like, I think that's at least the proper reaction or an overreaction to what we've seen from Detroit. I don't know if I'm going to bet Detroit plus three. Maybe if we see 3.5 on Sunday, maybe I'd be a little bit more interested. But where I actually would look today, whatever, whenever you're listening to this, whenever the day of the game is that's taking place while I'm eating turkey and looking for a 3.5, maybe you should do the same. The thing that's much more interesting to me in this game, I actually really like the over in this game at 51.5. So you have a game that's being totaled like an average, again, 1 point above average NFL scoring, about a half point above an average NFL scoring game. First of all, the game is at Ford Field. Weather will not be a consideration. Scoring conditions could not be more ideal. You have a Houston offense that is like kind of blasting people right now. And like, what resistance is Detroit's defense on a short week missing guys going to provide in this game? Like, I think the one thing you can feel great about in this game is like Houston is going to score. Now, is Detroit going to score or not? That's like sort of the mysterious answer. Houston is going to score in this game and they might score a lot. So like, I think they're going to hold up their end. I think where you get a bonus in terms of expectation versus what's actually going to happen is you had Detroit play Carolina last week, a team that is like pot committed to having the game go as quickly as possible, long time-consuming drives. This game, like, if Detroit didn't, you know, try to throw the ball at the end for the last 5 minutes, this game could have taken 2 hours. So like the pace and sort of like the conditions of that game are dragging down as much as humanly possible the perception of Detroit's offense, whereas Houston, like, they allow points to everybody. They allowed Cam to throw for 350. A guy has no wide receivers. They allowed him to throw for 350 yards. Like, Detroit's going to be able to score some in this game. I don't know if they're going to be able to match Houston score for score. So rather than bet the Lions, I'm betting the over in the game. So over 51.5, my first bet.
So does it concern you? Like, unlikely, the Lions are unlikely to have the services of Kenny Golladay with his hip injury.
Yep.
We don't know about Amendola. We don't know about Swift. We may not know about these. And Swift did practice Tuesday in a limited fashion, but it's not been cleared from concussion protocol. So, like, if they don't have Golladay and, like, and they don't have Swift and, you know, Amendola plays, like, how are they moving the ball in this game? And this is kind of, like, the counter that I would give to, okay, whether Swift plays or doesn't play, the case would be kind of like this, like, the case that would be made by people that like the Patriots last week. And I know you weren't one of them, neither was I, but which is, the Texans can't stop the run. Patriots are going to run it down their throats. They're going to control the clock. They're going to keep Watson off the field. Well, that becomes problematic when Watson is just shredding your defense and taking you out of your game plan, where Cam is forced to throw, ends up with 365 passing yards. We also don't know if Stafford's healthy. So that is my pause with both the over, and I don't think I would, maybe 3.5 I'd consider it, but like, I don't think I can bet Detroit at this number. Like, and I'm not saying I'm rushing
to bet
Houston.
Can I give you a counter to that total stuff that you were saying? So I think that literally no matter who plays for Detroit, Houston will allow yards to them. So like, Houston allowed buckets of yards and points to Jake Luton, who since then has thrown like 17 interceptions. Houston allowed more than 6 yards per play to 6 different opponents this year. They allowed almost 6 yards per play to Cleveland, who could only run the ball because there was a windstorm. So like, I honestly, I'm not even like, there is a, like, people be like, well, it's Carolina, like, they don't play good defense either. Like, there is a difference between Carolina's defense and this defense. Like, this defense is much worse. Much worse. So like, I understand, like, we all watched the Detroit game. They literally scored 0 points and it was abysmal, and Adrian Peterson had like 9 carries for 9 yards. Like, I understand all that, but like, Houston has literally allowed yards to Jacksonville twice and every other opponent that they played. Like, I do think the total is dragged down a little bit by what we saw from Detroit last week. I think too much.
I think you sold me on the over just now. I think I'm in. I can't get there on Detroit though. Maybe
they might be in backdoor mode. They might be in like they might be down a lot out of the gate. And then I think you're already there if that happens, honestly.
A little narrative-y, perhaps, as far as the side is concerned. I have no way of proving this, but I think at the very least it's an interesting talking point. I think the Lions have quit.
Where would that show up if they have quit?
When they lose by 100 points tomorrow.
Hopefully it's all right. Hopefully they just lose 52-0. That'd be fine with me.
get the game over the total. I can't bring myself to bet Detroit. I'm not saying that I'm going to bet Houston. I just don't know if I can bet Detroit. But you know what, Lockie? I'm going to back you up on that over. I'm going to bet the over as well. So we can make that a show bet, the Texans-Lions over for us tomorrow. Some props that the Prop King is looking at for tomorrow. The Lions secondary is all sorts of banged up. We don't know if they're going to have Jeffrey Okuda, the rookie first rounder out of Ohio State. Other injuries in the Lions secondary. I realize that Cobb and Stills are going to be out, which complicates things a little bit in terms of like the ancillary pass catchers, where you might be able to say, okay, well, I think Cobb will get the ball X number of times here. So I think we're going to see the Texans do one of two things. And I don't feel confidently enough when we talk about props in kind of assigning like any kind of confidence to any of these things, because I think it's like a literal coin flip. Like, will it be Kiki QT? Are we going to see more QT on the field, who is out of Bill O'Brien's doghouse because Bill O'Brien is no longer employed by the Houston Texans? QT catches a touchdown last week. Will QT be on the field more, or will it be kind of like two tight ends with Fells and Akins, along with Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller? I don't know the answer to that question, so I don't feel confident betting on any of these guys. I think if I had to bet on one of the ancillary satellite Texans receivers, it would actually be Akins to go over here, because the Lions are not good against opposing tight ends. But I don't know how much he's going to play in the game. Like, who knows? They may go four wides and get someone else off the scrap heap. It's just difficult to kind of project with the two wide receiver injuries in this game with Stills and Cobb. So I think we have to go with what we know. And what we know is the Lions secondary is bad when people are healthy, and people are not healthy here. So I think Houston's going to get up and down. They've kind of shown that, right, in the post Bill O'Brien era here. Despite the fact that the Lions have a terrible run defense, Duke Johnson's been horrible as the lead running back in the absence of David Johnson. He's got one more shot here before David Johnson returns off IR next week. I don't have confidence in the Texans being able to run the ball even against the Lions here. So I think, you know, they're going to probably try to get up and down the field passing it. That leads me to overs on both Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. And I feel really good about both. The Lions aren't going to be able to cover either. I don't know where the target competition comes from, given that Stills and Cobb aren't going to be there. Yeah, this is easy for me. Cooks and Fuller, both over tomorrow for the Houston Texans. And for the Lions, I think that we feel pretty strong, right, about Galladay not playing. Maybe Amendola yep. plays, maybe Swift can go. It definitely does not look like we'll see Galladay. So in the absence of Galladay, there's only one guy in that pass-catching group that you can kind of hang the all hat on. And it's TJ Hockenson. So there's no props posted for the Lions yet because of the uncertainty here. But Tyler will tweet from You Better You Bet. I'll text Tyler. If I do Hockenson, I'll tweet it out. Tyler will tweet it out from at You Better You Bet. Just saying that I'm looking at the TJ Hockenson props. And for the Lions running backs, if Swift doesn't play, Kerryon Johnson got a lot more snaps last week than Adrian Peterson, but their touches were almost identical. You never know what Darrell Bevell's doing on a week-in, week-out basis. So, like, I'd love to be like, well, this is the Kerryon Johnson week, but I don't know that it is. So I'm going to stay away from that. So, Lockie, your thoughts on the prop pool here. Cooks over, Fuller over, Hockenson over for Thanksgiving, Texans-Lions.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got, again, ideal scoring conditions, and you have, you know, a Houston offense that's looked really good and a Detroit defense that hasn't looked. I mean, P.J. Walker could have put up 40 in that game if he doesn't throw two end zone interceptions. I mean, how many points does Carolina score in that game? So, like, again, you know, now you flip to the Houston offense, and yeah, like, I think attacking with their wide receivers makes a ton of sense. Detroit, I agree with you. Like, I would almost play it the other way. I might play Adrian Peterson rushing unders with the idea that, like, it's either the Kerryon Johnson game or it's another ineffective Peterson game. And, like, you can be like, well, Houston allows, you know, everybody to run the ball. Yeah, but, like, that's still not what's going to happen here. Like, Adrian, it's literally like 2 yards and fall down untouched. Like, that's literally these Adrian Peterson. Like, guy has never had an explosive play the entire season. So, like, if you see 50,
beginning of the season, like 45, he was okay, 50. I think. Like, the first couple weeks, he wasn't like horrendo.
Right. I mean, the tread came off the tire pretty quickly, I guess, is just the point that I'm making. So, like, I don't know if books are going to prop him like the feature back still. Then maybe that's the attack point is like under on him, because I actually think there's a lot of game, like a lot of this game is Houston's leading, and like Houston leading this game means like, and you could look at again Carolina last week, even
you
when they were up 7-0.
What about Kerryon receptions?
I mean, honestly, I don't even know the Detroit roster well enough. Like, is there another back that can get touches in that offense if they're down in a game?
I want to say no.
couldn't Matt Patricia sign, like, you know, Jonas Gray or some old Patriots running back to come in and get like 25 carries? So if Detroit's going to be losing more often than not, and you have kind of like this Adrian Peterson really, really, really ineffective recent run, if books are going to kind of like post him with even like, God, what was he last week? I think he was 50 and a half rushing yards last week.
Yeah,
if you
that,
see
that's...
anything close to that, I think that's the attack point where it's like Lions running backs. Again, I try to attack like usage that I think is going to be less as opposed to effectiveness. His usage literally might be like very low in this game.
Yep, I think that's a fair point. So again, follow You Better You Bet on Twitter if you don't already. Any props that we play will be posted on the You Better You Bet Twitter account, because some of them are not posted as of right now. So that's the Houston Texans visiting the Detroit Lions. It was going to be the sandwich game, and now it's just the second game with Ravens Steelers now being moved to Sunday. And that is a critical matchup in the NFC East with major playoff implications. And I actually said that with a straight face because it's actually true. And that sees Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys welcoming in Alex Smith and the football team of Washington, D.C. The Cowboys are 3-point favorite, total here of 46.
The other interesting, you know, if this is a narrative, this is not a reason to bet either side, but like, this was the game where Dalton got smashed in Washington and got the concussion. And there was all that talk after the game about team didn't stand up for it and everything. Just like a weird like circular development, like, you know, time is a flat circle where now Dalton's like back and finally gets to play the rematch of this game. We weren't sure if he was going to play the rest of the season. Dallas closed -1 in that game. So again, we flip home field, whatever you want to call that this season. I think this is like kind of telling you it's the exact same teams either way. I don't see a lot wrong with that. My number in the game is Dallas -2. So like, if we get to +310 on Washington, that's like a small edge for me. I don't think I'm going to bet it, but like that would be the side that I would prefer. Just
right,
again,
that's what Rob said on the show yesterday. What Rob Bazzola said on Tuesday's show is like, if you're a numbers guy, Washington is the side at +3. But then like he handicapped it and was like, he actually likes Dallas in the game. So I think that's like, it's almost like I don't want to say like man versus machine because that's too dramatic, but it's like an interesting like numbers. And like he came to that conclusion. You've come to that conclusion. My guess is that a lot of other smart people that like will handicap, not entirely based using numbers because there's on-field handicapping as well, but people that do like what you guys do, I'm sure have all come to around the same conclusion that Washington is a valuable bet. But then like when you on-field it, maybe you like the Cowboys a little bit. I think that's interesting.
Right. I totally agree. I think that's a really good way to put it because I'm also not here pounding the table being like at 3-110, give me Washington. It's like, I guess that would be the side that I would prefer that number. I think that's how I put it. And one of the reasons why Rob pointed that out and what I'll just emphasize here is I still think Dallas is a really difficult team to rate effectively. We've had one game now of the resurgence of the defense. Again, didn't play great in the Minnesota game, but like healthier and playing a little bit better and Andy Dalton together with the offense. We don't have a lot of data points from that. So like the very, very limited data that we have says that this is the right number-ish, 2.5 or like shaded threes basically toward Washington. And I think that'll hold that number there. The question is like, I think if you were looking for a team that would like could overachieve their rating at, you know, of all the teams playing this week, a team that could end up being rated a lot differently a week, 2 weeks from now, it's probably Dallas because like they're still kind of in a rock bottom rating here. Again, like field goal at home against a bottom five team in the NFL, touchdown dog on the road against a middle of the pack NFC team. Like, are we still rating Dallas ineffectively? I think that's possible. Well, I really liked Dallas last week because you had a number that they just had to keep it within one possession. That's not what this is. So I do think this is a pass for me, but I agree with you that interplay between like, if you make a number, it's Washington 3. If you don't make a number or you're on field, it's Dallas at 2.5. Like, I think that's kind of, and it's to the surprise of no one, the number is literally bouncing back and forth between those two numbers all week long. I think that points to that kind of disagreement among bettors.
So here's what I've arrived at for this game. And I think kind of like, because I like to do a couple wacky Thanksgiving bets, and this is not like necessarily recommended here, but people will do like a three-team Thanksgiving tee. Well, I guess it's two teams now.
Right. Would you tease Washington up?
I would, you know what I would do? The Texas money line parlay, Dallas and Houston. Oh. I think both teams will win.
Love it. Lone Star Parlay?
The Lone Star Parlay. Love it. Good old LSP.
LSP.
So I think Dallas will win the game. I don't think I want to lay three with Dallas, though.
Why would you?
Will this number at any point in between us recording, people listening to it, the game kicking off, will this number at any point hit 2.5? Or is this staying 3 or maybe even going up? Like, what's going to happen here with this number? before kickoff?
Great question. My guess, this is more of an educated guess than like a prediction. I would guess that money comes in on Dallas on Thursday, and this closes 3-1.
Go up.
I think it's Dallas.
Will
3
it go
minus
up or no?
No. So it'll be like right now. There's like 3-110 basically still isn't available. Like it's like if you want the three, like it's you gotta it's like juice differently or whatever. So that was a horrible way of putting that. But anyway, Dallas -3, -110 is where this settles, I think. I think Dallas takes a little bit of money. I think the 2.5s all vanish, even the 2.5s that are juiced for Dallas. And you have to decide, like, you know, do you trust your number and you stomach betting Washington, or is the number just good? You know, and I think I'm kind of between those two thoughts right now, which probably tells me I shouldn't make a bet.
Two questions. If I'm creating hypotheticals, just in the event that it happens, to cover bases for our listeners, if the number comes down to Dallas -2.5, are you betting the Cowboys?
No.
If the number goes up to Washington +3.5, will you bet Washington?
No. I might tease Washington. I'm thinking about teasing Washington. I haven't decided
up to
yet.
9?
That's the only
way
I would
look. Would you need it to come down, or would you tease them to 9?
Oh, I mean, you could tease them to 9 too. I think 2.5 to 8.5. Again, I'm not doing this as like a strict long teaser leg, but like you have a total of 46 with, I think lends itself to a low scoring game too. Like Alex Smith and Dalton and time consuming running drives. The idea that you could get Washington plus more than one possession in a game with a total of 46 is a little likable. That's like the only way I kind of see to attack this number right now.
So I wouldn't be shocked if this were like a 23-20 final score. I also wouldn't be shocked if this were like 30-27. Like, I just think there's a lot of unknown in this game. Maybe I would be shocked if it were 30-27.
30-27 is a little shocking. Yeah, having watched Dalton last week.
You know what I'm going to do? Yeah. I'm just going to shut up, and I'm going to get to the props here.
We'll edit that out.
Or don't. I don't give a shit. I've got 3 props for consideration. So I want to start with a running back prop. So I think this is actually interesting and a piece of information that we may have gleaned from last week. J.D. McKissic had been out touching, out snapping Antonio Gibson, especially with Alex Smith at quarterback. So we have to consider, though, the 2 games that Alex Smith has played, right? He comes in the Giants game, and they're trailing, and McKissic gets a million targets, so throwing the ball up and down the field. The next week, they're on the road in Detroit. They go down a million points. McKissic gets a million targets in that game. Last week, if Joe Burrow plays the entire game, the Bengals, I think, wipe the floor with them. But given the fact that, you know, he went out at 9-7, and also I think, like, people will kind of point to, well, you know, the Bengals would have stomped them so the Cowboys can. Andy Dalton is 1/100th the quarterback that Joe Burrow is. So let's relax on that point. Not nearly as good. And won't throw the ball down the field like the way Burrow will. I think Washington, Scott Turner, Ron Rivera in this offense may have tipped their hands a little bit as to how they'd like to, at least, distribute the running back touches when they are playing in either neutral or positive game script. So last week, Antonio Gibson got more touches than J.D. McKissic, and they rode Gibson, which makes sense, right? McKissic is your pass-catching running back. Now, he's going to get touches. It's not like he's not going to touch the ball here. But I think if we expect that this game's going to be close, which we do, one way or the other, I think it stands to reason that we'll see more Antonio Gibson in this game than we will J.D. McKissic. The Cowboys also get creamed on the ground every single week. Their defense has been playing better. They still get creamed on the ground. Dalvin creamed them last week. When these two teams played in week 7, Gibson had 128 rushing yards and a touchdown. Gibson's rushing total in this game at Bet Rivers is 52.5. So with all those factors in consideration here, I'm expecting positive or neutral game script. I don't think the game script will get very negative for Washington. Maybe it will. My anticipation is that it probably won't, that it'll be close. I want to go over Antonio Gibson rushing yards. That'll be prop number 1 for consideration, Ken Barkley.
I love it. Actually, I don't really have anything else to say. I think that's great. I actually totally agree.
Okay. So let's move on here. These will be 2 receiving overs. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Dalton has shown in his 3 starts, he throws Amari the ball a ton, an absolute ton. Amari has at least 75 receiving yards in all 3 of Dalton's starts. You saw it again on Sunday. Amari is Dalton's go-to guy in the passing game, and it's kind of a little frustrating because I'd like to see CeeDee Lamb get the ball a little bit more. Gallup has kind of disappeared, so I'm not even going to bring him up for consideration. Dalton Schultz actually gets targets from Dalton, but his number is a little too high at 33.5. Amari's number continues to be low, which I think, like, is wild. 51.5. He's going to get like 7 or 8 targets, if not more. He's gone over 75 yards in all three of Dalton's starts. Amari Cooper, over 51.5 receiving yards. Ken would be prop bet number two for me in this game.
Yeah, I bet. We didn't talk about it in that Vikings game last week. We talked about CD. We talked about a lot of other props that ended up winning. I added Amari in that game.
Yeah, I had Amari
I remember you texted me on Sunday. As like, that was like the list of things that you were considering. And I that was one that I did add and I felt really good about. So I'm with you. I played him last week. If the number's not going to change. And again, like, you know, the way you don't want to play Dallas, I think, is like, you know, you don't want to play like the fringe offensive. Like, Dallas is going to be so vanilla. Like, you actually kind of know exactly what it's going to be all the time. Like, it's going to be like, it's going to be methodical, a healthy dose of short passing, a healthy dose of running, and like some tight end targets. So like, you know, Elliott's usage is going to be a ton. Amari Cooper's usage is going to be a ton. Like, they're not going to, there's not going to be a lot of like wide distribution with an offense like this, at least watching all the Andy Dalton starts so far. So you kind of go with the bell cow guys if they're being lined in correctly. And I kind of agree with you. I think Cooper's number remains pretty low.
I'd like to filibuster for a second here because sure. I'm on bet. So I wanted to get the updated line at Bet Rivers to see if it had changed, and it's actually off the board right now at Bet Rivers, the Amari Cooper receiving yards, which again was 51.5.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I literally looked at it this morning and I have it written down in my notes, so I didn't make it up. So I'm going to just very quickly, but I'm going to another sports book right now, which will remain nameless, just to see if like, if the prop is similarly priced. So give me a second here. This will be important information. There's no Amari prop. Is he added to the injury report or something? Like, is there something I missed from now? Like,
I'm trying.
Yeah, there's just an Amari receptions prop. Oh no, here it is. Excuse me, 59.5. So it's gone up. That's what it is at another prominent sports book right now. 59.5. It was 51.5 literally this morning. So,
how do you feel about 59.5?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going over.
Okay.
Washington secondary is not good. That's an easy one for me. Maybe Rivers made a mistake. Not that, you know, they may not be infallible. Maybe they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe this is too low. Maybe we'll bring this puppy down and then we'll put it back up later. So 51.5, 59.5. I still honestly, I think it's too low. I'd play Amari. I'd probably play Amari up honestly until like the high 60s. Maybe the cutoff would be like 70. I still feel like we've got Amari here. And the final one, in his last four games, Terry McLaurin has no less than 81 receiving yards. The Dallas secondary is very banged up. We know Trevon Diggs is on IR. Anthony Brown is on the injury report. He gets targets, so this is not like Alex Smith is not throwing him the ball. So he's going to get his. Like, he's definitely going to get his. It's a very beatable secondary. I think his number's low. 73.5, that's an overplay for me as well. So that would be my third and final prop with Washington and Dallas would be McLaurin over receiving yards.
Like, I'm probably less bullish on that one just because, like, there's not anything, like, in flux necessarily. Like, I guess you could say, like, if Anthony Brown is injured, then, like, maybe that's part of it. But it seems like a prop that's more likely to be lined accurately than the other ones we've talked about. Doesn't mean he can't over.
That I agree with. I do agree with that. Yeah. So should we leave it on the cutting room floor? Is that the best thing to do here?
I'm kind of just okay with it. Like, I like the Gibson one because it's like a short-term arc. Like, there's no way they're lining him correctly based on the last 2 weeks. There's just no way. It's like very unlikely. But it's somewhat likely they're lining the number one wide receiver who gets targets all the time correctly. So,
I can't believe the Amari number is so low.
Yeah, I know. I can't either, actually. That's like very bizarre to me because they
I don't think I'm missing it.
Right. And Amari goes over last week and you're like, oh, well, they were a touchdown dog. Yeah. But like that entire game was played within one possession. Like the entire game was played within one possession, basically. So, you know, Dalton targeted him that much in a game state that was neutral basically the entire time, which is what this is like. This feels like. Like, I literally think this entire game might be spent within one possession.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Right.
Do you have any props for consideration in either of the first two games that we haven't discussed or any thoughts regarding props?
I mean, I think, like, with Houston, Detroit, we talked about, like, is the attack point Detroit running back usage, which has the tendency to fluctuate game by game but could fluctuate away from Peterson in this game. I think that's interesting. Houston's offense probably doesn't have any attack points because, like, it's going to get lined and they're going to get bet. Like they're going to score a fucking billion points. So like, I don't, you know, unless you want to get really contrarian with unders or something, but there's no usage way to bet Houston's offense, I think. I think there's just like their guys are their guys and they're probably going to go over a little more often than not. So that's kind of how you attack that. But like, which means there isn't really a way to attack it from my handicapping style. Detroit would be the running back touches. And then like, does Hockenson get lined the same as last week when he's probably going to get a higher target share because they're going to be losing, you know, just as often, but have more possessions and they're going to be playing at home. So like, that's kind of interesting. Like the Detroit offense has more attack points, probably from a prop standpoint, whether it's Peterson under or the pass catchers over. Washington, Dallas, Cooper, I kind of agree with, but like, other than that, it's like, it's the same guys from last week's Minnesota game, which was a high scoring game with no kind of like injuries or anything. Washington, Gibson's probably the attack, but like, again, running back touches, which you brought up, that's probably the usage attack point there. So I think we pretty much covered everything, but I would kind of like, I'm sure there are people out there that want to jam like every Texans over, like Deshaun Watson's awesome. You know, like they put up a lot of points on New England, Detroit stinks. Like that's sort of like, everyone's going to bet Houston for that reason too. Like my advice is like, I think those are going to be lined pretty close. Like, or if they're not, they're going to have been bet over already up to a point where people like them. Like that's a very public prop position to take, I think.
I think I'm okay with that.
I mean, again, that doesn't mean they don't win. That's like, there's a difference, right? Like, it's like you're paying fair price, probably, at least that's all I'm saying. Like Gibson, I don't think you're paying fair price. I think you're paying under fair price.
And Amari,
I think you're definitely not paying fair price. Well, maybe if it gets in the 60s, you probably start being paying fair price, but
Hockenson, we don't have the number yet.
Let's see what
it's
going to
be. I doubt it's going to be lying correctly.
Right. And I mean, like if Peterson's still on the depth chart as the starter and he started last week, the likelihood that number is different by a lot is low.
Very interesting. So you have no interest in Cooks and Fuller overs?
I have the over in the game. I'd rather just play it that way. Like, I don't care who gets the ball. Kind of like that.
Whew. I think I'm going to do both of them.
And just, again, they don't have to be public. That doesn't mean they're losers. Like, I'm just saying, like, there's not, like, these guys have all been playing and succeeding. The idea that, like, the number wouldn't be, like, pretty high and correct is low.
So what do you think? Should we leave him on the cutting room floor and do no props for that game? Or maybe just Hockenson?
Maybe just Hockenson. Like, the stupid thing about that game is Detroit's props are probably the attack point. They just got shut out. Now they're at home against a team that stops no one, but they're probably going to be lined low. Like, Houston's going to be lined through the roof.
They're not like, but like, it's not out of control. Like, the numbers for, I think Fuller's 70 and Cooks might be like 68. Like, I think at worst,
you win. Those are pretty high. Yeah.
But I think at worst, you win like one of two. Like, I don't think you would lose both of those.
I don't know. I don't feel confidently enough to like totally agree with you on those. I just think like my thing is more just like, what are the short-term fluctuations that create value? And for Houston, it's the same guys they rolled out again. So like that, with my style, that's like a pass for me, basically.
Well, how about this? Why don't we settle on this? Because I think it's like a good talking point here. If I had to pick one, either Fuller or Cooks, and remember last week I gave up Brandon Cooks, right? Because Gilmore is going to be on Fuller. Belichick has shown kind of like that's his. So listen, but maybe Matt Patricia does the same thing. You know what? Maybe we'll leave those alone. And we'll just bet the over in the game. And maybe Hockenson.
I think Detroit might score. I actually think they might score. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Texans defense is trash.
Yeah. I think that's the attack point. I really do. And I know that just sucks to say because it's like, the team that got shut out against fucking Carolina last week with a quarterback with a torn ligament in his hand. But it's like, they're being treated like that. They're being treated like shit. And I think that's how you play against that.
All right. So, okay, we'll move on here. So if I play any of these props for tomorrow, Tyler will tweet them out for Matt, you better, you bet. And when we get the Lions numbers, we can kind of see there are none, obviously, as we do this right now. There are literally no Lions props listed. So we can talk about those. We'll tweet those out on Thursday morning if there are any plays for the Cowboys-Washington game over Amari Cooper, over Antonio Gibson. Gibson rushing, Cooper obviously receiving. What can you tell us here about the Steelers-Ravens game? Postponed, obviously. We won't see this game played until Sunday afternoon.
I think we have some hints maybe about what the market might be when it reopens. You know, I don't think this is going to be that crazy than what we saw early in the week. So you have to remember, like, the evolution of this market was Steelers open 3.5 when we had no COVID news whatsoever. Steelers open 3.5. The immediate money was on Baltimore to push this down between 3 and 3.5. Then all of the news from that point forward created that artificial, like, Steelers -5. Then it was -4, 4.5. So, like, I think when the number opens on Sunday, like, something between 3 and 3.5 makes a lot of sense. I think a total in the mid 40s makes a lot of sense. We've been all the way down to 44.5, but like 45, 46. I think the opener was 47. So, like, I think we have a pretty good idea for what the market's going to be. Steelers by slightly more than a field goal in mid 40s total to kind of have a conversation about. I think you and I both agree that, I mean, any time off, literally a day, but 3 days especially, has to be pro Ravens in some way. Like, it can't not be pro Ravens. Like, so we don't have chapter two of the Packers Niners Thursday night game, basically. Like, we at least don't have that as a potentially in play thing here. Like, Ravens were able to move the ball a lot in that first meeting, and I think the Steelers are going to be able to score in this game. Like, again, like, think about, you know, again, just watching that Ravens-Titans game last week, you know, for people that maybe just kind of tuned in, tuned out, had it through red zone or whatever.
You know what, though? Because this needs to be said. Like, the Ravens, as a result of this, like, Judon might not have played on Thursday night.
Yep.
Jimmy Smith might not have played on Thursday night.
Yep.
Smith, the offensive lineman, might not have played. Phillips, excuse me, not Smith. I was thinking, is it Phillips or Smith? It's Phillips. Phillips might not have played on Thursday night. Like, if Judon and Jimmy Smith are out there on Sunday night now, and, like, I was kind of handicapping the game as if neither was going to play, I actually think that's kind of like a decent deal here for Baltimore.
Yeah, I think more than a field goal. I mean, the problem with talking about this game early in the week is you and I, like, never really got the chance to say kind of like how we felt about it, because by the time we even got to it, the Ravens had COVID stuff. Like, it was like we never even had a window to think about the game the way we're going to be able to think about it now. My number on the game with, again, like, I think it's adjusted as much as I can adjust it to be anti-Baltimore. I mean, the team closed 7 at New England and 6.5 at home against Tennessee. Like, it can't be that bad. So, like, especially if they're not playing on a short week anymore. Like, my number was Baltimore by 1. So, like, you know, sorry, that's what the closing lines, you know, tell me, basically. Like, oh, by the way, these numbers win. So, like, again, if you remove some of the uncertainty of who's going to play and who's not going to play, you remove the short week travel from the equation, like, that does make it a little bit easier to stomach betting Baltimore. I think that early money is that same indication, right? Opens 3.5. What do bettors first do before any COVID stuff comes out? You know, the early birds, basically, of which I would count myself as one of them.
Betting Baltimore
needs to be down to 3. Like, 3's probably closer. I don't think you would ever see 2.5. There would just be too much Pittsburgh money, probably. And I think there are too many people that use, you know, the game box scores and not closing market data. And that would say Pittsburgh is a better team, too. But, like, every way I run this does not come out more than a field goal. So if we see 3.5, if we see a total that's that low again, I like the Ravens and I like the over.
I definitely like the over in the game. It's just too early, man.
It's okay. Like, but I do think we have an indication of what the market's going to be. Like, I mean, you know, this was between 3 and 3.5, and that was for a Thursday travel. So, like, Steelers 3 minus 120. Like, I don't know. I don't think it can be more. Like, it could be 3.5 between 3 and 3.5, but, like,
it will be, though, right? Like, this number ain't
maybe close.
You think it's going to close at 3 now?
Nah, if it's 3, it's like a way juiced Pittsburgh 3. It's between 3 and 3.5. It's kind of like the way, that's not true. I was going to say it's like the way Dallas and Washington is. That's between 2.5 and 3 the same way. But it's similar. It's basically between the keyest number in the NFL and a number that on the half point on either side. So yeah, I think like 3.5, 110, like ish.
The keyest?
The most key.
You can't be up in the ivory tower if you're going to be fucking doing shit like that.
It's the keyest.
The keyest. You know what this is? You know, talking about this game is not the most funnest thing that we've ever done, is talking right. about this fucking game, which has now been postponed. So, look, I'm going to say this a lot. Actually, not as much as I expected, because I actually like a decent amount of stuff on Sunday, but I'll be back on Sunday. You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. WFAN, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, the NationallyRadio.com app, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So, all the thoughts and all the picks we will have by then. We have a lot of injury information still to consume in this game. So there's a lot that has to be determined before we can figure out what we want to do here. So, to recap, over in the Houston-Detroit game.
Yes.
We like that. No play on Dallas, Washington, right?
Nope. Maybe I might tease Washington with a couple other things I like on Sunday, teaser leg wise. That might be the only way I attack it.
Antonio Gibson over rushing yards.
100%.
Amari Cooper over receiving yards.
100%.
I may end up playing Terry McLaurin also. But
sure.
Well, I'll let Tyler kind of tweet
as
that
is your
out,
want.
As is my want. And I may end up playing Cooks and or Fuller. I need to think a little bit more about it. It is only Wednesday. And normally we do this shit on Thursday. So again, no, you better
well,
bet on
Thursday,
Twitter.
Yeah. Or on Friday for the games we're about to do on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, we usually have it, the maximum amount of, literally, we usually do this like 2 hours before the game starts, which would be, oh, I don't know, like 24 hours from now.
Would you, what about the Lone Star Parlay?
Houston Moneyline, Dallas Moneyline?
Yeah.
Two thoughts. Square as hell, probably wins. I mean, it's a four-sided shape, but you probably have more money at the end. So,
right?
So I don't know.
Would you? Is it a bet that we can recommend on the show or
no? Nah, I don't think so. I think the payout's just not good enough for what you have to lay.
Do you think it'll win?
Dallas. All? Dallas can lose that game so easily. Like, that's not even, like, I wouldn't even really play Dallas moneyline.
Who do you think's more likely to lose, Houston or Dallas?
Oh, Dallas by a mile.
Why don't you just fucking lay it with the Texans then?
Because I'd rather bet the over. I'd rather attack the game differently.
Well, why don't you just attack it in many different ways?
Right, well, how about this? Like, if you're like, how about, well, here, all right. I don't want this segment to drag out forever, but like, if you're watching that game, it's 12:40 on tomorrow, Thursday, today, whatever, whenever you're listening to this, it's
tomorrow.
Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, and the game's got 5 minutes left in the first quarter. It's 7-0 Houston, and they're running Adrian Peterson. Like, would you just take the Texans at like 7.5? Like, I mean, that's, like, you kind of want to see it from Detroit a little bit, right? Early in that game. Like, are you going to be able to tell? That's my thing. I'm trying to figure that out. Like, are you going to know? I mean, kind of like when you watch Seattle, Arizona,
I knew. It's Darryl Bevell, man.
Right.
All right.
I don't know if you're going to know. I don't think you're going to know. You're also going to pound the table and say, give me Romeo Crennel as a field goal favorite on the road on a short week. We're also dying to do that.
Well, I mean, he is facing Bozo the Clown.
He's very experienced. He's just, it's like,
which shitty Belichick assistant would you rather bet on?
Yeah, right. Oh, God. It's like coming up at 4 o'clock, like, you know. Charlie Weiss takes on,
Josh McDaniels.
Oh God, yeah. Or so I couldn't even think of who's the next worst Belichick assistant. I don't even know.
Well, Flores is good. Judge might be good.
Judge might be good too. This is the old
Who
guys.
Else is that? There weren't any others. One. Well, Dable's pretty good, but he's not a
right.
Coach.
Well, and you go way back, like Mangini, I guess, was a guy. But
whenever I think of Eric Mangini, I think of the Sopranos scene when they see him at the restaurant. And he goes, see who's over there, Tone? Man, genius. And she goes, who's that? That's the Jesh Coach, sweetie.
Yeah.
Why did he say it like that? Like, rest in peace, James Gandolfini, but it literally said, that's the Jesh Coach, sweetie. That's the Jesh Coach, sweetie. Why did he say it like that?
Maybe his genius was unappreciated by us. I don't know. Who knows?
I think we collectively hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. He was such a genius that he managed to get hired as a head coach, get paid millions of dollars by two separate franchises. So maybe he is a genius.
Yeah. Could be a genius, right? Maybe just, you know, misunderstood in his time.
Listen, you know what? He's got more money than me, so good for him.
Right.
Okay. We won't take a break because the show is not live. So what we're going to do is stop down for a minute here. And if you want our Sunday picks, of course you do. Just click on the next segment with our picks for Sunday, Week 12 in the National Football League.